Hi, I'm Brandy Niemeyer. I'm from the University of Wisconsin in Whitewater. I'm assistant professor there in health promotion. And I study health behavior development specifically for children as they approach adulthood. And I'm interested in the influence that parents have on the development of their children's health behavior patterns. I think that my presentation will follow nicely from what we just learned about with the maternal influence on children's development of health behavior patterns, especially related to dietary behaviors. However, I am going to use the theory of planned behavior to help describe my propositions for the development of children's health-related behaviors. And also I use this theory to help guide some research I've done, and I think it helps clearly describe the research results that that I found with the recent study that I did. So first, I'd like to share with you, I have no financial or other relationships that I should disclose with you at this time. So first of all, and as Adam described, I think nicely, and we all know that there is a weight problem in the United States with children, adolescents, and adults. Specifically in my research, I found that 1 in 10 children who are 2 to 5 years old are overweight. This is the preschoolers, right, in America today are overweight. 1 in 5 children that are 6 to 11 years old are overweight. And then about 1 in 5 adolescents are overweight. There are many costs that we can contribute this to, and again, our first presenter highlighted those quite well. Of course, the costs that we as a society experience from overweight conditions is enormous, and of course includes morbidity and mortality, decreased productivity both in the workplace and in schools, and of course the health care costs, costs related to chronic disease. The theory of planned behavior was developed in the early 90s. It was sort of an extension of the theory of reasoned action that was once proposed several years prior to its development. Basically, in the theory of planned behaviors, there are 3 overarching constructs: the attitude toward the behavior, and in this case, this could be defined as how the behavior, such as dietary behaviors, are valued by individuals. Second is the subjective norm, or the individual's perceptions of the norms or the cultural norms that are perceived to be held by others. And then thirdly, perceived behavioral control. Behavioral control really consists of one's perception of the ability they have to engage in a behavior or not. I propose that parents influence all 3 of these major constructs that lead to individuals' intention to participate in a behavior. And in this case, today I'll talk about dietary behaviors. Parents teach our children, and many in social science know that parents model behaviors for children. And in this respect, all 3 of these constructs could be used to understand and help predict the development of dietary patterns in children. Also, let's not forget that parents are the gatekeepers for those people that interact with our children. And those gatekeepers are those that help establish norms for the children as they're developing behavior patterns as well. I wanted to sort of flesh out these constructs a little bit before moving into the research descriptions. First is attitude toward behavior. Eisen developed this theory, of course, and described the attitude toward the behavior in 2, we can call them sub-constructs. The first is behavioral beliefs. Behavioral beliefs are those beliefs that a behavior will have desirable outcomes. Outcome evaluations basically include the value one places on the outcomes. So in total, the attitude towards behavior is the belief that engaging in a behavior will lead to an outcome and the value one places on that outcome. So in dietary behaviors, Many people engage in healthful dietary behaviors because they believe that it will lead to healthful outcomes, and they place value on those healthful outcomes. Secondly, subjective norms. The subjective norms are composed of the normative beliefs, or the beliefs that loved ones or those people that are significant around you want for you to engage in a health behavior. This could be parents, family members, and it could be peers. Of course, peers is a very influential group of people in children's lives. Motivation to comply is just that. It's the level of motivation that one has to comply with those standards of those that are around the individual. Next, we have the perceived behavioral control. Control beliefs are those actual or perceived barriers that are present to engage in a health behavior. We know that in childhood, parents are a large influence on children's dietary behaviors because they actually control what children have access to related to diet. With perceived behavioral control, parents have that direct influence on the control beliefs. They actually can create barriers for children to eat certain things. And then perceived power is this notion of power that an individual has to overcome a barrier. Again, another learned trait that parents do help teach our children. So in this study, I looked at and examined relationships of young adults and their parents' dietary behaviors. And in addition, I investigated some moderating relationships of parental authority style. Specifically, and as was mentioned in the previous presentation, the authoritative parenting style is the style of parenting that includes warmth. Discipline is present. However, discipline is oftentimes accompanied by discussion and reasoning. There is oftentimes give and take with these parents. They talk with their children and discuss the things that the children do, and if discipline is necessary, then provide discipline with rationale and understanding. Authoritarian parents, on the extreme other hand, are those disciplinarians that use discipline as a way to control their children. Authoritarian parents are sometimes referred to as the disciplinarians and the dictators. Authoritarians sometimes are accused of telling their children, do as I say, not as I do. Permissive parenting, on the other hand, is characterized by parents that sort of are laissez-faire. They believe in allowing their children to make their own decisions. And usually discipline is very limited, if not non-existent. Now, of course, these three types of parenting that I've described are at the extremes. However, in the questionnaires that I used in my study, I measured the levels of these three parental authority styles in order to see if there's a moderating relationship with dietary behavior patterns of children and their parents. I recruited 151 young adult parent pairs, meaning that I recruited 151 young adults aged 18 to 25, and each of the young adult participants selected one parent that they perceived as the key decision maker for their family. That parent was the one that most of the time made decisions about purchasing groceries, planning family activities, and so on. I used the food frequency questionnaire to measure dietary consumption and BMI, and the parental authority questionnaire to measure the levels of parental authority among the parents in the participant groups. And both of these questionnaires validity has been established for both of them. So in the study, I found two very important relationships, but both were not surprising. First, parents had significantly higher BMIs as their young adult children. This is not new information. The older we get, the higher the BMI gets for us, right? Unfortunately, perhaps. However, it was interesting to find that there was a scaled difference among the young adults and parent participants. So they were significantly different, but they were positively correlated, meaning that as a parent's BMI was high, so too was their young adult child's BMI. Similarly, with dietary behaviors, young adults had significantly higher daily calorie consumption, which again is not new. However, it is interesting that these two were positively correlated, meaning that as parents' daily calories consumed was high, so too was their young adult children's daily calorie consumption. So I then used regression and studied the moderating relationships of parental authority. First, I looked at the authoritative parenting style, and interestingly, the authoritative parenting positively predicts young adults' daily calorie consumption. In other words, as authoritative levels are high, the calorie consumption levels increase. There was no moderating relationship. This was a direct relationship. And so perhaps, I'm sure you're wondering, as I did, what does this mean? And the honest answer is I've done some research on authoritative parenting, and I have found that children of authoritative parents do tend to eat more regularly and more healthfully. In other words, I was measuring calorie consumption, but there are other studies that have measured consumption of breakfast, consumption of healthful snacks, and so on. And studies have found that those children of authoritative parents do have those more regular eating patterns. So perhaps in this study, it was found that perhaps children are eating the more frequent, more regular diets. Of course, I didn't go into the dietary consumption patterns deeply enough to really make some conclusions, but that is what I suspect. High levels of the authoritarian parenting, remember authoritarian parenting, this is the dictators and the disciplinarians, the high levels of that authoritarian parenting results in an inverse relationship of young adults and parents' BMIs. And similarly, high levels of authoritarian parenting result in an inverse relationship of young adults and parents' daily calorie consumption. Now, this is quite interesting. So, as authoritarian parenting levels increase, the BMIs and dietary patterns of parents and their children become inverse. And so this would suggest that children are actually rebelling or acting in an opposite way of their parents when they express high levels of authoritarian parenting. Interestingly enough, this holds true with many studies related to substance use, drug use, alcohol use, nicotine and tobacco use, and so on. However, there is very limited research in the area of dietary consumption. So this was quite interesting. Similarly, the permissive parenting style, as permissive parenting style increases, the BMI level also approaches an inverse relationship. However, that daily calories consumed factor is not significant. So I've provided a couple of graphs for you just to illustrate this relationship. First is the BMI relationships as authoritarian parenting styles increase. And I've noted it with the heavy black line. You'll see the authoritarian, the BMIs for the authoritarian parents approach an inverse relationship. This is also true for the relationships of permissive parenting styles. This is the calories consumed chart. It illustrates that high levels of authoritarian parenting, there's an inverse relationship in the daily calories consumed among young adults and their parents. And you'll see here, so, you know, what does this mean? What does this mean, especially for practitioners, researchers, health promotion professionals, and so on? Well, if we go back to the theory of planned behavior, I think that this relationship clearly illustrates the influence that parents have on normative beliefs and the motivation to comply. As children develop and grow and learn, they start to understand a sense of norms and culture, and they understand what it is their parents would like for them to do, what it is considered good behavior versus bad behavior, and so on. And that motivation to comply, in my opinion, based on my research, motivation to comply is heavily influenced by this notion of parenting authority. And so parenting authority really should be considered a key influence on the development of dietary patterns of children. And it has not before been considered such a strong influence. Just to briefly go over the limitations and strengths of this study, I did have a homogeneous sample. It was made up mostly of females who were white in a Midwestern population. The majority of the households that were represented included young adult children who grew up with parents who had both biological parents in their home throughout their childhood. A majority of the participants were college students. So lastly, again, I propose that all of the constructs of the theory of planned behavior are influenced by parents' behaviors, what they teach the children, and also the parental authority. I think that parenting styles are a key concern, should be a key concern, for those of us that promote health and educate others about good healthful practices. Implications in this study, of course, are present for counselors, parents, of course, and interventions, and can certainly help to make interventions more successful. Future research that would benefit this topic area would include continuous study of the influences on parental authority, especially related to the development of dietary behavior patterns. Also, longitudinal research would be beneficial, as it would help for us to see sort of a very real progression of children's development of dietary behaviors through the lifespan and the influence of parents on those behaviors. And then lastly, reviews of interventions are always helpful. It would be nice to have some interventions that take into account parental authority, and then after some time, a review of those interventions and their levels of success would be helpful for current research. My references are included here in this PowerPoint presentation, as well as online at the APHA website, and I believe I will be able to take comments and questions after the other presenters complete their presentations as well.